Hey,
my name is Juliet. I'm the host for this podcast, and I'm going to talk about Ha'azinu today, second to last parsha of the year. And wow, we're coming to the end of the year. I'm going to be ordained as a rabbi starting in as of January, which is very exciting. And so what I do here is I talk about the parshas, and I talk about life and my life and the lives of others as we go through the Torah every week and connect it to real life. So here I am today. I'm going to talk to you about Yom Kippur and yesterday. I got two important messages yesterday from Yom Kippur. I spent the day at home with services coming through the live stream, and I was going to go someplace in person. And as much as I wanted so badly to be in community with friends, my head was very sharply telling me, no. You see, I had a migraine. So I'd had this sore throat, and then I got a migraine. Anyway, but on the flip side, I got up in the morning despite the headache because, I mean, I hadn't slept. I'd barely slept the night. And this hasn't happened to me in a really long time, but obviously something was bothering me and I had to figure out what it was. And I did a lot of crying, and then I was like, nope, can't go back to sleep. So I got into the shower, and the shower, when I was there, I was like, oh, I'm having a mikvah. I'm washing away all this stuff that I was working on last night and figuring out. And I got out and I got dressed in white and like as if I was going to shul for Yom Kippur, because that's what you do on Yom Kippur. I'm in Central Park, so if you hear voices and stuff and sirens, you hear that, right? They don't know that they're being recorded for posterity. And you know, so in Yom Kippur, we're supposed to dress in white. This is something that I only learned, well, later in life, because I didn't grow up in a religious home at all. I didn't know anything about anything. Never even went to bar mitzvahs as a kid. Like, that's how little. I didn't have those kinds of Jewish friends. If I had Jewish friends, which I did, but I missed out on all that stuff, which is good and bad because, you know, you don't get the baggage, but you also don't get the knowledge, you know? So I'm coming at it clean, clean, like Yom Kippur, like after Yom Kippur, clean. So I got up in the morning and I put on my white outfit that I was going to wear to shul and that I always wear. My husband even did that, which was really sweet. And it was a rainy, rainy day, another rainy day. We're getting the aftermath still, well, it's gone now, of these hurricanes coming from the Caribbean and from Florida. And my heart goes out to the people that have lost their homes there and their lives. I mean, I don't know what, you know, like, who knows, right? And these storms that are coming, speaking of the earth, like, I'm going to be talking about the earth today, too. And I always think about the earth. But on Yom Kippur, we face our death day. We get in touch with what it would be like if we died. What legacy are we leaving behind? What kind of people do we want to be? What kind of a person does each of us want to be? How do we want to be remembered? And so if you really sink into that, then you're facing something really scary, right? And so you put on white. That's part of playing the role. So I had my own little mikvah in the shower, and then I got my tallis, my prayer shawl, and I put it on the big screen TV with a good, my screen is not very big compared to other people's, but for me it's big, for us it's big. with the good sound, you know, and I put on a place, and for the first time since the pandemic, I wasn't jumping around trying to figure out where to go. I was just like, this is where I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to do. And it felt so different and so good. Like I was actually davening. And which is kind of amazing because remember, you know, we were always like, oh, try this one. You're texting your friends. Try that one. Oh, this is good. This is really beautiful. And then you're just not grounded in anything. And instead you're watching. You're watching. And that's not what you want to do. If you're going to a prayer service, you want to be praying. You want to be trying to somehow or meditating or getting into this different headspace, not playing with social media, you know, not playing with the media. So by the end of the day, after going through the same prayers over and over, because I got down on the floor and I was really like in this cocoon, I woke up feeling this morning cleansed somehow. Like, I didn't know that that was how I was going to feel, but it was like, oh, I do feel like a new person. I slept and the migraine had slowly subsided over the course of the day, but by last night, it was really completely gone. And I guess that was all that my body and my soul needed. So the two messages that I got from yesterday, did I say that at the beginning? I think so. That I got two messages from yesterday. Two main messages that I want to carry. And one of them is about Azazel. And if you know anything about Torah, in Leviticus, there's the story of the scapegoat. And this is where we get the idea of the scapegoat in modern talk and ideas. And this was a special ritual during temple times where they would, the Levitical priests would send a goat out into the desert as a repentance for the sins of the Israelites. So this was a scapegoat. lots were thrown to determine which of two goats would serve this purpose. So we're kind of talking about that, reading about it, and on Yom Kippur, it's an important part of it. And it's a little bit of a mysterious reading, but that's the main thing. So the question that came from that was from this person who was talking during services, who was giving over a drash, was, who do we blame? Who do we blame when we don't want to take responsibility for our own actions? Because Yom Kippur is all about taking responsibility, right? Who do we blame? Or even not only for actions, but we also tend to blame other people for our feelings and thoughts. Like we say, oh, this person made me feel that way, or this person made me think this thing, and they put this thought in my head. And whenever we're putting the responsibility on someone else, we're not taking responsibility for ourselves and what we can do to change that. And it doesn't mean that we don't feel hurt. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to feel hurt. It means that we need to deal with the thoughts and feelings that we have in addition to our actions. So we need to take this seriously, because if we don't take seriously how we hurt other people, then these hurts, as this person said who was speaking, have long, wide-reaching repercussions. It's like throwing a pebble into the water, or throwing a rock in, and how big are those waves, right? Some hurts are deeper than others, and some have wider reaching, deeper reaching repercussions. And so when we are the people that are hurt, we need to also, this is another part of this, is that we also need to allow ourselves to feel whatever we feel for as long as we feel it. Because hurts have long, wide-reaching repercussions, like I said, right? And we should stop telling, we need to, the should, okay, first of all, should needs to be taken out of our vocabulary. That's very hard to do. But every time we notice that we're saying that word, oh, I should be over this. I should have gotten past this anger. This happened so long ago, or past this hurt. Why am I still hurt? It's not helpful. It's not only not helpful, but the fact that it's still there means that we have more work to do. So that's when we hurt other people and when we ourselves are hurt. You know, this, oh, telling other people, oh, you're too sensitive, or something like that. Like, that is not helpful for anyone. So that was one message about Azazel and taking responsibility for our hurts and how we hurt other people. And the other message was from two poems by the famous Israeli poet Yehuda Amichai about his parents. He wrote two poems. One of them was My Mother Was a Prophet. You can look it up. Yehuda Amichai. It's beautiful. And it was one kind of voice. She brought, there's go some more voices, speaking of voices, in the background. She brought the voice of love and support through harsh judgment, and her many, quote, little predictions came together in one big prophecy. These are the poem, the words of the poem, that will last until the vision of the end of days. Incredible how when we tell somebody, oh, our child, for instance, you shouldn't, you should, you can't, you can, you'll never remember. I knew you wouldn't remember. I knew, like, these are the kinds of examples. And she was both supportive and not at times, but they became this whole prophecy. And that's incredible, right? Because our words have very far-reaching repercussions. Now, his father, on the other hand, had the softer voice of love. His father was God. The name of the poem is My Father Was God. And his father gave him, in addition to the Ten Commandments, gave him the 11th and 12th commandments. And here they are. The 11th is don't change. And the 12th is you must surely change. On Yom Kippur, we face our own death and we remember those who have died. We remember, we cry. We remember people who have hurt us, who have died. Maybe they were our parents in ways that they hurt us. Our feelings are always very complicated. It's not just like, oh my God, I love this person and I wish they hadn't died. No, we have so many complicated memories and we still carry anger with us. And all of it is valid. Sometimes these voices were voices that gave us love. Sometimes they withdrew it. And sometimes they never gave it at all. On Yom Kippur, we also recite about a million times, just like the Amida and all those other, you know, Al-Khayt and all these other prayers, so many times. We recite the 13 attributes of God, which appears in Exodus. You can look that up. You'll find it easily on the internet. They are compassion, that God is compassionate. God is gracious. God is slow to anger. They're all beautiful attributes. Yet we rarely see that side of God in the Bible, in the Torah. Our God is very angry. Our God is very quick to anger. And as much as it says that God loves us, you wouldn't think so by God's words and actions very many times. And as we come to the end of the year's Torah cycle, these attributes couldn't seem farther from the truth as represented by Moses in the second to last Parsha Ha'azinu. Moses represents God's harsh voice and also Moses' own harsh voice that carries love for the Israelites. And what continues is what is this parsha is a poem that comes out sounding more and feeling more like damnation. Remember last week at the end of the, so God tells Moses, you're going to write down all of these, you're going to write down this poem. Well, usually we read these two parshas together last week and this week's, but because it's a leap year, we don't do it this year. So it was like a cliffhanger last week. So this poem turns out to be how we stumbled as a people. We're reminded again how stiff-necked we are, how bad we were. Yet God caught us under God's wings each time. We've all stumbled. We've all been harsh. We have all become angry with those that we love. And we have all told ourselves, it's because I love them. Because that's what we were taught that means. And it may be true, but it doesn't come out that way. It doesn't feel that way to the person receiving that message. It doesn't feel like love. Yesterday on Yom Kippur, we stated our shortcomings repeatedly throughout the day. We called out, we begged forgiveness. And according to our tradition, we have been cleared, cleansed. We've been cleared of the vows and all the wrongdoings. We have a clean slate. We get a chance to try again. But that's only for today. That was only for yesterday. Is it even extended to today? I don't know. Going forward, I mean, if we've already made a mistake this morning, today, then it's not over, you know. So going forward, our tradition teaches we must keep up the work. That's why this work of teshuva, it shows up in every day's liturgy of every single weekday of the year. And we're supposed to have awareness so that we don't continue to hurt those we love. And the earth, we continue to hurt the earth. And we need to take responsibility for that. Going forward, we need to keep up the work of fighting for justice, for people, for animals, and for the earth itself. Because the harm we have caused has had very far-reaching repercussions, as we know, from all of these crazy storms we've been getting. And we also need to stay grounded in who we are, in the particular gifts that we each offered the world. We need to remember the 11th and 12th commandments. Don't change. You must surely change. As a species, we need to preserve the beauty and the health of the world we live in. Don't change. But in order to do that, we must also evolve in the ways we move in it, with each other and with the earth. Each one of us, and all together. The parsha begins with Moses calling out, Ha'azinu hashamayim v'tishma ha'aretz imrefi. Give ear, O heavens, listen into your ear, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words I utter. This is what we do on Yom Kippur. We're calling out to the heavens. And what we say and what we feel and what we do, the earth will hear. The earth hears it all. So we need to be careful. So I leave you with that, my dear friends. And I wish you a Shabbat Shalom and a sweet, sweet year to come. See you next week. And check out my website, lenegditamid.us, lenegditamid.us. And make a contribution, because this is work that I'm doing. It's actual work. So it would be really, really appreciated. I put a lot of work into all of this stuff. I do. I spend hours and hours. So thanks from the Almost Rabbi. See you next week. Bye.